Jody Ginnessy all over the place. I know he was covering things for the Des News. Hopefully you guys follow him on Twitter at DJ Jazzy Jody as well. Let's bring him in. Jody, how are you? Welcome in. Happy Monday, man.
Thanks, mister. It's always good to talk to you.
How,
it is a happy Monday.
How surprised were you? I believe you were on the air with us when the news broke, but how surprised were you when you heard the Jazz had moved up over 10 spots to get the guy they wanted, Donovan Mitchell?
Well, sorry, I'm outside, so if you're hearing the wind, I apologize about that. But I knew that the Jazz were trying to move up into the lottery, so I guess we got that part of it right. We should have all known that they were going to pick Donovan Mitchell, of course, because they had him in, and that was, I mean, it worked out well. Once it happened, you're like, of course, you know, he's a guy that they brought in and they were lucky to have in. But it's always a bit surprising when they're able to pull off a trade, or, you know, trades like that where they can jump so high. I think it was a pleasant surprise. That the more I watch him and learn about Donovan, the more I kind of get excited to see him in Quinn Snyder's system and on this Jazz team.
Jody, who should we expect Donovan Mitchell to be fighting for minutes with come next season?
I think that's a good question. I anticipate that he'll play more shooting guard. You know, I guess we'll see how that develops. So I think that he could take some of the heat off of Rodney Hood a little bit. But I'm really excited to see him and Dante Exum next week at the Summer League, see how they pair up together. So I think that you could see that backcourt where both of those guys could be really just defensive terrorists for other teams, and both are quick and athletic, so that could be kind of fun. I could see him getting some minutes both at the one and the two, and occasional, you know, who knows, maybe they'll let him play a little bit of small forward too. Yeah, maybe they need a lot of small forward minutes. I guess we'll find out about that here later this week. But that, I see him being mostly a two.
Well, speaking of the small forward, I mean, are you more or less optimistic? You think if you're a Jazz fan that the Jazz can keep Gordon Hayward, or do you get a sense that Danny Ainge has sort of been one step ahead of the game for the last few weeks, and that he'll do the same thing to the state of Utah?
Yeah, the closer we get, I was at 70-30 thinking that he would be coming back. And now, over the last couple of weeks, that went to 60-40, and now I'm kind of 50-50. I just honestly don't know. The closer we get, the more I think that maybe he will want to go play with Brad Stevens and team up with Isaiah Thomas and a couple, you know, who knows? I still think the Jazz have the inside track. They can pay him more. I think that the future's super bright here. It is in Boston as well, but he has such a good relationship with Quinn Snyder. You know, they just built a new house last year. His wife seems to love it here a lot. So maybe I'll go 51 Jazz, 49 Celtics. How's that for wimping out?
That's all right. We'll forgive you, Jody. I may be going out on a limb here, but what are your thoughts regarding the Nigel Williams-Goss selection come pick number 55? Do you reckon someone by the last name of Stockton had anything to do with this, considering where he played his college ball?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Dennis Lindsay told us a little bit about, for some reason they were on a phone call with John Stockton, Steve Starks, Dennis Lindsay, and Quinn Snyder, and so they bent John Stockton's ear a little bit and said, hey, what do you think about this Williams-Goss kid? And the answer that really impressed the Jazz was that Stockton said he plays like an adult, and he plays with good pace and good speed. And then when Nigel came in for his workout, apparently his leadership and his communication skills were just off the charts. Dennis Lindsay said that he was one of the top five best players he's ever seen communicate. And, you know, he's shown at Washington and Gonzaga that he's a good player. And, you know, Stockton thought he should have been the player of the year last year. So that's some pretty high praise from John, who just doesn't blow smoke. You know, if he says it, he means it. So I think that, you know, it's a long shot, and that's what the SLC stars are for. Let guys like that develop, and so I think we'll see him get a really good shot there, and who knows? It'd be a fun story. We could always use some Gonzaga guys here.
In your opinion, will Derek Favors and Dante Exum both be on the Jazz for the entirety of next year, or could there be some movement by the trade deadline?
That's a really good question. I know that a lot of teams are interested in Derek Favors, and that he would be somebody that you could package up and really get a nice player in exchange for. I think we'll still see Dante Exum here all season. Derek, boy, that's a really good question, because I know that they'd like to keep him, but to get somebody good, you have to give up somebody good. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Derek Favors traded either before the season or during the season.
Prediction for Monsieur Gordon Hayward, Jody. What's he going to do?
So I'm going to predict that Gordon's going to stay. I still think that Boston is in play. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Miami will be able to sway him there. But where the Jazz can pay him more money and all the other invariables that I think Utah has a better advantage than some people nationally will give them. And people just be shocked. How could anybody possibly choose Utah over Boston? But I don't know. I saw that Gordon Hayward follows Donald Trump on Twitter. He doesn't follow some of those Democrats from the Boston area. So I don't know. Maybe being in a red state suits him better.
Well, and that could very much play in when it comes to Gordon Hayward there. What sort of factors will the team around him play? I mean, do you feel like Gordon Hayward is attached at the hip with George Hill? Or, you know, what if George Hill's not leaning toward, you know, maybe he and the Jazz can't work out a deal. Will the George Hill-Utah Jazz relationship affect Gordon Hayward?
I think it would help, honestly, if the George Hill situation was a little bit more solidified, the point guard situation. Because I know a year ago, that was one of Gordon's beefs with the Jazz, is they didn't have a good enough point guard, and he wanted to play with a really good point guard. And then you see this year, even though George was injured for about a third of the season, when they did play together, they played wonderfully, and those two really clicked. But I think it's bigger than just George Hill, though. Rudy Gobert is here for 4 years, and so for at least 4 years, if not longer. And so I think that Gordon and Rudy's games really meshed together nicely. But the Jazz do need to show Gordon that they're going to have a top level, maybe not an all-star level point guard, but a George Hill level point guard, somebody who's in that top, you know, 5 to 10 range. They really need to solidify that, I think. But if there's some intriguing prospects out there that Teodosic, I don't know how you say his name, Milos Teodosic, the Czech, they're the Serbian point guard. That would be kind of interesting. He's apparently just a tremendous passer and a really good shooter, best player in Europe right now. The Patrick Beverley rumor is pretty intriguing. He made first team all defense today with Rudy Gobert, so that would be a nice addition to the Jazz backcourt. There are some options out there. I think Ricky Rubio could be intriguing. So even if it's not George Hill, I think that they could get somebody good enough that would make Gordon feel good.
You made mention of Rudy Gobert, Jody. He's, of course, up for a couple awards tonight. Do you think if Rudy's somehow able to get the Defensive Player of the Year award, that could have a positive impact on Gordon Hayward's decision?
No, I don't think that will affect it really at all. He might give Rudy a hard time because Rudy might get... I think Jazz players, honestly, would rather Rudy not get these awards because
really?
It pisses Rudy off and it motivates him. So they like to keep him, you know, humble and hungry. So, but I don't think so. But I think just the fact that Rudy is in the mix, I think that's huge, because it comes down to personal preference. And Gordon's smart enough to know that, you know, what a couple of knucklehead sports writers vote shouldn't make his decision any different. But I say that because I didn't vote, so they took my vote away this year. But I honestly don't think Rudy Gobert is going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. I think that we saw what's going to happen with Draymond Green getting the most. He was a unanimous first-team all-defensive player today, I think he'll be the runaway winner as far as most first place votes. I wouldn't be surprised if Rudy's second and Kawhi Leonard's third, similar to how it was with the first team voting. But that doesn't take anything away from Rudy. I mean, he had a tremendous breakout season, and he's a really good player to tie yourself to his hip and build a foundation with. So I think that plays in the Jazz's favor as far as Hayward goes.
The Jazz are clearly in a better position if they can re-sign Gordon Hayward and build around him and Rudy Gobert, you know, maybe around George Hill too, and Donovan Mitchell. And of course, there's Dante Exum. There's a lot of good things that can happen if Gordon Hayward sticks around. What if Gordon Hayward does opt out and leaves for less money? What then can the Jazz do? I mean, how far back would that set them as an organization?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a step back. I think that, you know, they still have some nice pieces, but then suddenly you're like, if they keep Gordon Hayward, you're looking at a team that's a 51-win team, and now you're thinking, okay, 55, and Rudy Gobert threw out the number 60 at the exit interviews, and that's not out of the realm of possibility to be a mid-50, high-50, low-60-win team, as long as you add at least one more really good player. If Gordon doesn't come back, then you're going to have to really get creative and do some hard work in the free agency or a trade. I could see a guy like Otto Porter coming in and stepping in and not being as good as Gordon Hayward, but maybe helping the transition a little bit. But I don't foresee like a Paul George coming here, but they're going to need somebody of kind of in that range, really, to not take too big of a step backwards, because who's going to score? You know, Gordon's been your leading scorer, and he's done so many different things that you just, even leadership off the court. I mean, last summer, that was huge for the younger Jazz guys to see their leader in the gym every morning at 7 o'clock in the summer. And so that's kind of what some things that Gordon brings off the court too. So you'll have to replace that.
Follow him on Twitter at DJ Jazzy Jody, or read him at the Dez News. He's the Jazz beat writer for the Dez News, Jody Ginnessy. Jody, we appreciate you. Have a great week, man.
Thanks, guys.